Men of Vision. Men of Vision. Men who have opened the eyes of the world. Marco Polo, Sir Isaac Newton, Leeuwenhoek, Gutenberg, Franklin, Edison, Roosevelt. Each week at this time, we bring you dramatic highlights from the lives of men who, directly or indirectly, have helped us to see. Men who, advertently or inadvertently, have brought to the world better vision. Today, we turn to 17th century Rome. Here in one of the dim, austere, high-panel council chambers is seated a court of 10 self-satisfied, complacent men. The color of their scarlet robes sears itself against the dark walls, just as their fiery tongues sear every non-conforming thought, just as the fiery torture tools of the Inquisition sear the flesh of him who dares to raise a new idea and mark himself thereby a heretic. Before them stands a lone man, old and weary, a forerunner of the modern men of science, a man who carries on his research as we do today through observation and experiment. By this method, he has found out too much and has talked about it. Listen, as accusations pour in on him from all directions.
Galileo Galilei, you are fully aware of the reasons for your summons to this court. You have questioned the sacred precepts of knowledge which have been handed down to us from the ancients.
Yes, and you've spread sacrilege, which endangers the standing and authority of the church.
You've even had the presumption to set your own conclusions above those of the Bible.
Galileo, 15 years ago you were warned to cease these heretical teachings of yours.
You got off then, but not this time. Galileo, you've been meddling in affairs that anyone with any common sense would keep away from.
When you became professor of mathematics at Pisa, you even put doubt and unbelief into the minds of the young men you were supposed to enlighten concerning the unassailable doctrines of the illustrious Aristotle.
And you got paid for it, too. Why, I remember when you openly announced that Aristotle was wrong about the speed of falling bodies.
What's happening? Why all the crowd? What are the university professors here for? Why did they go toward the Tower of Pisa? Is anything wrong with the tower?
No, woman. It seems that there's to be an experiment of some sort. The Master Galileo.
The one with all the professors and students behind it?
Yes.
What is he carrying?
Quiet. Master Galileo is talking. Gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, Aristotle said that the speed of a falling body depends on its weight. That a 10-pound weight falls 10 times as fast as a 1-pound weight. As you know, I do not accept this theory. I believe that the weight of the body makes no difference. All bodies fall at the same rate of speed and reach the ground at the same time.
Who are you to question Aristotle?
Today, gentlemen, I am going to prove my theory to you. I have here a 10-pound shot and a 1-pound shot. I shall take them up to the upper gallery of the Leaning Tower and cast them off. You shall judge whether or not they reach the ground at the same time.
Is the Master Galileo gone up into the tower?
Have you no ears, woman? He's going to drop some falling bodies.
Whose bodies?
Be quiet. Nobody's bodies. The 2 shots he carries. 1 10-pounds, the other 1 pound.
There he is. He's holding them over the side of the tower directly before him.
He lets them go exactly at the same time.
And they hit at exactly the same time.
Impossible. Maybe he pushed the lighter one.
Don't be a fool.
Your Excellencies, I prove the truth of my theory. The 2 weights left my hands at the same time and reached the ground at the same time.
But it is not so written in Aristotle. Therefore, it cannot be.
It is not so.
Galileo, is there anything you have done which has not aroused strife and bitter words? Always you have sought to upset the lines of thought which our learned men pursue.
Thought? Thought? What does it mean to think? Why ask? Well, Your Excellency, my telescope was well received. The nobleman of Venice.
But, Signor Galileo, will this pipe tube of yours with the glass in the end really do the things you say and bring far distant objects right up to your eyes?
That's the effect, Signor Cicero. Why not come up? into one of the towers overlooking the harbor and try it. The one over on that corner gives a fair and distant view.
With pleasure. But, there is the Signor Verdi. He will be interested, too, and the lovely lady with him will be interesting.
I invite them, by all means, if you wish.
Signor Verdi, here. Join us, won't you?
Good day, Signor Cesaro. Good day.
Signor Galileo, the Signor Verdi, in the service of His Honor, the Doge.
It is an honor.
And may I present... It is an honor for me, Signor Galileo. I have been hearing of this magic pipe of yours. May I present the Contessa?
Delighted.
Thank you. You are the gentleman who sees so much, are you not?
Well, I...
This pipe of yours, Signor Galileo...
Something we might look into, Verdi?
I hear that this pipe makes objects 50 miles away appear as though they were only five. What do you call it?
A telescope. The Greek for far view, you know.
Oh, very fitting, yes, very fitting.
I was right about this, Signor, no?
No, Contessa. We're going to try it out from the tower here on the corner. It overlooks the harbor at its best point. It will be of suitable height, will it not, Signor Galileo?
Yes, excellent. But first, Signor and Signora.
It is Signorita.
Your pardon. Very well. We'll go up. Here are the steps. They lead to the first balcony. To you first, Countess.
Oh, please.
Enough steps. You, Galileo, you ought to turn that mind of yours to thinking of something to save. Walking up steps. Like this.
Oh, but one needs exercise, Signor Cesaro.
Well, I am not as young as I used to be.
Really?
Here we are. There's a real view. Venice, bride of the sea, smiles before you.
Poet, true, huh?
You are too generous, Hunter. Would you look now out into the harbor and see whether your unaided eye can... You can discern any ships approaching?
Well, perhaps I can see a few... You can, eh? I guess my eyes are getting old.
I see very little on the horizon.
Now. We will survey the harbor with the telescope. The lady first. You look through it thus.
You demonstrate very nicely. This way?
Exactly.
What do you see? Yes, what about it?
Oh, really, gentlemen. You are too impatient. Look for yourself. You, Signor Cesaro?
Thank you. I see ships. And there has been no wine in my cup this morning.
Really?
Verdi, you have a look. You are always a sober person.
Is he indeed?
Yes, wait. Why, I see ships too. I see them clearly. Ships that won't be coming into the harbor for 2 hours yet, and we see them now. Sir, this is amazing. How is it done?
Yes, Signor, how is it done, huh?
Simple. The large lens in this end catches the image of those distant ships. The other glass magnifies that image so that you see it thus.
Well, I had no idea simple things were so interesting. Mm.
Quite a trick. Verdi, we should come in handy, for seeing wives in the distance,
Signor Cesaro, such a thought.
That is quite a crowd collecting below. I see several friends. Look, there is the merchant Stano.
Invite them up if you like.
Yes, we might as well have more, since we have so many now, Signor Galileo?
Aye, Galileo. The noblemen and senators of Venice liked your telescope well enough to scan the harbor. But you are not content with that. You must turn it to the heavens. Tell us, Galileo, what else did this magic pipe reveal to you?
Your Excellency, I use the telescope but for to strengthen my eyes. To find the truth, to search the heavens for answers to the questions about our universe that filled my mind, to find out for myself if the ancients were right about the position of the Earth and the other planets.
And you found?
I found that Copernicus was right. The Earth is not the center of the universe. The Earth moves round the sun.
Blasphemy, Galileo. Do you realize what you are saying?
Yes. The truth, and I have found a new planet surrounded by its own small moons that move around it as the moon moves around the Earth and as the Earth moves around the sun.
There are no new planets. There cannot be. The head contains only 7 apertures, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, and 1 mouth. Again, there are only 7 metals and 7 days in the week.
Therefore, there could be only seven planets.
But I have seen it.
This new planet does not exist. Aristotle made no mention of it.
If this telescope, as you call it, shows such things, it is an instrument of the devil.
If only you would let me show you. You have only to look to see, really see what is there.
Heresy. We have no need to look at your celestial trifles.
You may not choose to see my celestial trifles now while you are on Earth, but perhaps you'll see them when you finally make your too long delayed trip to heaven.
Silence. Galileo, you have been fortunate. Men have been burned at the stake for less than you have boldly thought and even written. This can go on no longer. You must now recant. You will yourself pronounce these falsehoods.
Falsehoods?
Yes. Before this tribunal, you will kneel and solemnly swear that all of your teachings are untrue. That the earth is the immovable center of the unchanging universe. The precepts of Aristotle and the Bible are the only true ones. Yours are mere imagining.
Your Excellencies, do you realize what you are asking me to do? My life's work, my teachings, my integrity, my discoveries. But they are true.
Kneel and swear.
I cannot.
There's the rack and other means of grace in the torture chamber. If it's too much for you merely to kneel.
Your Excellencies, all my life I have sought the truth, and I have spoken only truth as I have found it.
Enough. You kneel and recant before we pass a harsher sentence?
Think you my words can alter truth?
You are an old man, Galileo. When the rack tears limb from limb, it's not a pleasant feeling, so I've heard.
Nor is burning flesh a pleasant odor to the nostrils of him who burns.
Yes, I am an old man.
But not too old to confess your lies or to suffer tortures.
Galileo, for the last time, do you recant?
What does it matter? I kneel. I, Galileo Galilei, say the precepts of Aristotle and the Bible are the only true ones. Mine are mere imaginings. My teachings are false. The earth is the immovable center of the unchanging universe.
It is so recorded. God, take him out.
Out with you, old man.
Just the same. The earth doth move.
Yes, thank goodness. The world does move. Fast on the heels of Galileo's day, man won the right to speak the truth and light. And following Galileo's method of observation and experiment, he has ever since been reaching out into more and more distant realms of the unknown, making more and more startling discoveries. Today, the average schoolchild knows more than the wise men of old. And how is all this wonderful knowledge made available to benefit all mankind? 80% of it comes through your eyes. No wonder, then, that eyesight conservation is one of the most important programs of our schools and civic-minded organizations. Eyesight saving is a matter of vital concern to each of us, young or old. For starting at school age, our eyes steadily grow more and more in need of the best care that science has learned to give them. The best of light, favorable surroundings, regular examination, at least once a year, and when needed, the aid of properly fitted glasses, which work a wonder equal to the telescope of Galileo, which made those ships sailing into the harbor of fair Venice seem 10 times as close and distinct. Yes, take care of the only pair of eyes you will ever have, so they can give you a lifetime of service. This is Howard Claney speaking. Be with us again next week at this same time over this same station for another dramatization in this interesting series of Men of Vision, men who have opened the eyes of the world.